Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM with Gillette. When we show our best side, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Game on 2FM.
It's Friday, the 3rd of April.
Coming up today, Lionel Messi has taken a pay cut. Will the Premier League players follow suit?
The way Tottenham have handled it, I don't think has been very good. And what Tottenham are doing to their staff, I don't agree with whatsoever. But that is a separate issue to what the players do and what, you know, it's the club that have said the players are going to carry on with their wages. But let's see what the players and how the players react to it.
Irish rugby sensation Beveen Parsons on how she's adapting to leaving cert uncertainties.
Gaffney trying to close on Beveen Parsons. She's had precious little ball to work with today, but that is exactly what she can do. The 18-year-old. What a score. Length of the field.
Plus, we meet sports frontline health workers, and Jessie Barr has some psychology tips for both elite and not-so-elite athletes.
Game on 2FM.
All that and much more between Mark Feely's performance live here at 7 o'clock for the ISPCC. You can text us on 51552 or tweet at Game On. Marie, how are we doing? I'm buzzing since Jenny Green's last half hour there.
I'm not because of that, because usually at this time we start talking about our weekend plans, and I just came into my head there that I don't have any. I have nothing. Zilch.
I'm sure you can work something out.
Sunderland till I die is what I've planned, but that's it.
That's it. Nothing else. Is Billy finished the AstroTurf out the back garden?
No, because we can't get it delivered, so now we don't even have a back garden. Don't go there.
Don't mention the
He's
war.
He's finished the basketball ring, though. That was finished this morning. So that's in the front.
Okay. Publicly shaming helps with Billy, I could imagine.
Yeah, he'll be thrilled with this conversation. What about you? What are you doing for the weekend?
Do you know what the O'Callaghans are planning? We were thinking of going camping out our back garden, which pretty much means bringing the couch out the back garden and then coming in when it gets really dark and scary.
Are you going to put up a tent?
No, that's far too much work, I'll be honest with you. My kids just want to sit outside, have a laugh, and then go back in and go to bed.
You do know that camping means you stay somewhere in a tent overnight usually, or a camper van, or move location for the night.
We're just putting a little slant on it. Do you know what though?
You
feel so useless in ways though, don't you? When you see some of the athletes, some of the people that are doing incredible stuff, you actually, personally, I feel bad. You'd love to be doing more.
Yeah, I know. Even saying I've no plans and kind of complaining about it is, it's not very in keeping with what we should be worried about and thinking about and the bigger picture that's there. But I actually did get a real lift today. Sambo McNaughton, he's a former hurler who played for Antrim and is widely known as one of the greatest hurlers to have ever played the game. Outside his house, there was a picture posted today of 85 hurls or hurlies, depending what you call them. I'm a hurley person myself. Mm-hmm. And he was just put a sign up and was saying, you can take one. Anyone who wants a hurley, just take them away. So for people that maybe couldn't get to a shop, that didn't have any in, who broke theirs in the back garden, he was giving them away. And it was just a lovely kind of sign of solidarity.
That's really sound of him. But I know what happened there. He basically, like all of us, is doing a bit of a spring clean. And he was there, oh my God, I've 85 hurleys. How am I going to get rid of them? And throw them out. Put a sign on them. But you're right, there's sports people doing some incredible things. We've heard of rugby players driving ambulances. There's some professional cyclists working as couriers to get stuff to people, you know, in the healthcare sector. People really are stepping up.
Yeah, and we know, especially, I think here, because RGA players are amateur, that we are seeing a lot of them who, their professions, their day jobs that we don't hear so much about, because usually we're just watching what they're doing on the pitch, are frontline jobs, and they're nurses and they're doctors and they're keeping our supermarkets going and they're driving ambulances and they're doing absolutely brilliant things, some of the things that you mentioned there. And I must say we're quite lucky to be joined by a couple of them. Stephen Lucy, who is a dual player, or was a dual player, sorry Stephen, with Limerick, is retired now but still playing club hurling, and Grace Walsh, who is a Kilkenny Camogie player and is also a nurse. And Stephen, for those that don't know, is a doctor. Stephen, I'm going to go to you first. Just, I know from you that, you know, you're always an active person. You're a GP now. You were a doctor with the Limerick footballers, the minor hurlers. Such a busy guy. What's life like for you now?
Hi, Marie. Hi, Dunica. Yeah, it was fairly hectic there the last couple of weeks, but it's quietening down a lot now in GP land. There was a bit of chaos there when the testing was taking place. Everything was kind of being done by phone. So like this, I only saw one patient all this week in person, face to face. Everything is being done remotely. So we're trying to sort people out, but with phone calls, sending them prescriptions or sorting them out or directing them where they need to go. A lot of stuff is just answering questions and just helping people out, because there's a lot of anxiety and worry out there and just people wondering what to do. And the guidelines and the criteria are changing, every few days, because everything is evolving. You know, the testing criteria, there was a load of tests done there the Tuesday before last. It was all changed again. So all the testing we'd ordered the previous week was all cancelled. So we had to go through the whole process all over again. Basically, 6 days worth of referrals were cancelled and I had to go to do it all again. So, but since last Friday, things have calmed down a bit now, and I think everybody is pulling their weight and they're just kind of staying at home, taking the advice on. So that's where we are at the moment.
Thankfully, they are, Stephen, like you said. And Grace, you're really at the front line in St. Vincent's Hospital. How are you getting on there? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I suppose the first 2 weeks there, what we were kind of trying to do was discharge patients that were medically fit, I suppose, to go home and just get them out and away from the risk of picking up the virus, I suppose. So we were kind of busy doing that. The wards themselves were nice and calm. I suppose we had the same amount of nurses as we usually do, but not as many patients. Unfortunately, this week I've had to actually go into self-isolation myself. So I was exposed to a positive case. So I got tested yesterday and I'm just waiting the results. So this week I've been just at home trying to figure out what to do with myself, something I'm not really used to.
Well, Grace, that's incredible, because we're hearing of so many people on the front line, you know, nervous of that happening. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, geez, I wouldn't be nervous about it now at all, to be honest. You know, that's kind of the risk of the job and something that I've no problem doing. But my only concern, I suppose, would be that I'm looking after patients, so it's important that I do get tested just to make sure that I'm not spreading the virus. You know, I'm isolated at home here, so I know that I can't pass it on to anybody at the moment. It's not really something I'm scared of. The only thing I would be nervous about is passing it on to somebody else. But I'd be very shocked now if I came back as positive. I'm feeling good. I've loads of energy, so it's not too bad.
But Grace, obviously, you know, as a camogie player, any sports person, you can be quite selfish, but this is the complete opposite. You know, we're seeing people, you know, putting aside their sports, even their own safety, to better people around them, like yourself.
Yeah, I suppose, but in the job that I'm in, you have to be selfless. And, you know, I'm looking after people that have underlying conditions, and myself, I'm fit and I'm healthy, so I would never be worried about myself in terms of that. So it's just, I suppose, putting the right plan in place and listening to guidelines of the HSE and doing what we're told, just to stop the spread of this virus and to look after the people that are most vulnerable.
Stephen, in a way, when it's yourself, you're probably kind of able to put that shield up. But I know that you've got a couple of family members who are involved in the front line. It must be difficult kind of knowing that those close to you as well are in that situation, like Grace.
Yeah, my wife Fiona is a physiotherapist in University Hospital in Limerick, and sure, I'm getting the daily updates of the goings on. The big issue at the minute is the PPE. I'm just before you rang there, I was listening to Tony Holland and the latest update, and I'm sure people have been hearing about the PPE that was delivered from China there in the last few days, and some bits of it is unusable, or it's you know, it's not up to the usual standards. Like, so they're going to have to send some of that back, or see if they can readjust it or reassign it or whatever. So, like, I mean, if the staff don't have the protective equipment, then they can't do their jobs. You know, they can't look after their patients. It's very, very difficult. Like, Grace would be able to fill you in a bit more on that. My brother Mark is a consultant in ICU in RPA Hospital in Sydney.
So thankfully they haven't hit the as bad as things are, we'll say, in Italy or Spain or China or America or the UK now even. But still, though, you'd be worried for him because he's right at the sickest patients in the COVID wards there that they've set up.
Yeah, Grace, you're used to working as a team, being a part of a good environment. What's it like in the hospital there, you know, with that a different type of unit that are at the front line and such at risk?
Yeah, to be honest, I actually probably couldn't praise Vincent's Hospital enough. They have such a brilliant plan and structure in place. They have doctors assigned specific wards so that they're not going from one ward to the next. They're just looking after all the patients that are on that particular ward so that they're not like putting other patients at risk of spreading the virus. You know, everybody's working together. We're all in the same boat between nurses, doctors, catering staff, the radiographers. So everyone's kind of looking out for each other, and like it's a team game kind of at the moment. You know, we're all looking after each other, and I suppose at the moment things are starting to get busier. This week, the ICU, our whole ward had to be cleared out, so they transfer patients to other wards, and they've set up a new ICU in our ward, so just an extra 17 beds. So everyone's working really hard. Prepping for, I suppose, the surge. So things have been very good in the hospital. Everybody's been working really hard and well together.
Grace, two of my sisters are nurses, and I've spoken about them before. What I find fascinating and so impressive is that they're able to just act like, you know, it's just a normal thing that they're doing. And it's just so impressive. Like, they're on the family WhatsApp, they're telling jokes. I'm the one that's panicking about everything, and they're just going about their daily lives. It's just so brilliant to see.
Yeah, I think, you know what, anybody that's in the job enjoys what they do. I don't see it like as anything different, really. The only difference I found in the last 2 weeks is that because there are less patients, I actually get to give the nursing care that I'm supposed to be able to give, and I'm able to talk to the patients, get to know them, and that's the most enjoyable part about it. You know, I absolutely love my job, and now more than ever. And I think when you do enjoy something, this is not a huge change for you, I suppose. And the family WhatsApps and stuff, they're the things that keep you going. You know, you're looking for a bit of crack in the WhatsApps or at home or whatever. So, yeah.
I'd say there's plenty of crack on your family WhatsApp, Grace.
They are flat out. You'd be missing home. They were doing All-Ireland Sundays and stuff because my oldest brother and his wife and kids live right beside our house. So they're playing matches out the back and everything, dressing up. They have the music. They have everything, all the proper stuff in place. So I have a niece and nephew, Finn and Pippa. They're 5 and 7, so hard to keep them entertained. But there's a good bit of crack anyway in the WhatsApp.
Yeah, it's always so important, Grace. Even for you, what are you doing to get away from it? Because obviously the circumstances you're seeing daily are really tough, and you normally have the outlet of sport. What's filling that now?
Oh, it's like your world is closing in. Like a week or 10 days ago, I was able to go out to Croom and use the hurling wall out there, and then that was closed off. And then Mungrish, where I live in Raheen, and that was closed off. Tried Mary Eye, that was closed off that evening. Then the 2 kilometre radius came in, and I was like, what am I going to do? You know, so we're able to go for a few runs. I did a 5K run this morning. I'm on a WhatsApp group with some of the former Limerick footballers, and we're doing this, you know, the Bring Sally Up challenge. Have you heard that? You know that song, Bring Sally Up, Bring Sally Down? You know, it's like a military song, right?
I've played a drinking game to it.
Well, you could do a drinking game, but we're doing press-ups. Oh. And we're all doing times, like, and so far, Shawnee Buckley's just after going into the lead there in the last half an hour. He's on 2 minutes and 16 seconds. You should just go onto YouTube and put in Bring Sally Up timer. And you'll have the whole country doing this. You can do squats to it. So when the song goes, Bring Sally Up, you go up and you hold. And then when you say down, you go down and you hold. And you can do it with press-ups or squats. So that's the big thing at the minute. I'm trying to get the lads on the crew and GA WhatsApp doing it as well. But it's very entertaining. Mark O'Riordan, big shout-out to you there. He's only on 42 seconds. It's great.
That's my weekend plan sorted now. Thanks for that, Stephen.
Both of us.
Yeah, we'll have the whole country doing Sally Up now.
Yeah. But Stephen, one thing that struck me there listening to you, like, we don't actually get to talk to people anymore because we don't see anybody, but you're talking to people in the community. that are at their most vulnerable and that they are seriously suffering with worry and anxiety. Like, what's it like, I suppose, in the world that we're not getting to see at the moment?
Well, you know, people handle things differently. You know, there's a lot of worry and anxiety out there for sure. It's kind of our job. We're trying to reassure them and do our best for them, try and help them. To be fair, I'm unbelievably impressed with the community spirit and everybody pitching in to do everything. If people aren't offering their time and to drive and collect things and bring people or to check on people or to phone people, then they're having fundraisers to raise money. I see Munleen and I don't know who the Ballysteen were meant to play in the first round of the football championship in Limerick this weekend. And instead of playing each other, they're doing a joint fundraiser to raise funds for the staff in the region. I just read that today. So everybody's pitching in. There's a real sense. There's a phrase I used to hear years ago called metal, which is like community, and where everybody pitches in. And that's really what I'm seeing out there. So that's brilliant. It's the same sort of thing. So if there was a funeral in the community where people would help, they'd make sandwiches, they'd go to the house, they'd offer to do stuff, they'd park cars, they'd direct traffic, you know, that kind of stuff. Everybody's pitching in, so that's great to see, you know.
Grace, you're obviously seeing that side of it as well in the hospital, but what would you say to people that are so nervous of maybe, you know, being restricted like you are at the moment because of putting themselves out there?
In what way do you mean, Donica?
Just in terms of, like, I suppose everyone's nervous of contracting the virus and, you know, straight away I think of the frontliners, people like you that are going out so selflessly. If you were chatting to the rest of your colleagues, what would you be telling them?
Well, I suppose when we're in work, for the most part, like, we know who may be a possibility of having the virus. So we are protected with the gear that's there. Now, that's not always the case, as some patients are in for different reasons and you think that they may not have it. But on the outside, I just think if people listen to what they're being asked to do, I know that I live with four other girls here, and myself coming home saying that I was actually a contact of a positive case, it probably didn't really scare any of them in a way, because they're all fit and healthy. And they also know that they've listened to the guidelines and they haven't been in contact with anybody else. So I think if you listen to the guidelines, you stay at home, you go for your walks on your own within the 2 kilometres, you don't really have a chance of picking it up. And then in hospital, I suppose, once you're wearing your protective gear properly, you're at lower risk of contracting it as well. So,
do you know, I know
I know people are scared, and naturally enough, that's the way you're going to feel. But I think if people are doing what they're told and they're staying away from people they don't usually see, then you're at a much lower risk of contracting the virus.
It's always so strange to be talking to sports people during this time and not to actually be talking about sport. It's just in the space of a couple of weeks, it's flipped. I interviewed you only a little while ago, Grace, and we were talking about league and championship and management and all the rest and how things have changed so quickly. But we will get back to normality at some stage, Grace. What are you doing to kind of prepare for when you are back?
I suppose our whole team have given a variation of stuff to do between running, ball work and strength and conditioning. For myself now, for this week, I'm in self-isolation, so I actually can't even leave the house for a walk or a run. So my housemate, Emma Davis, is a personal trainer, so she's been keeping me going. And there's a woman, Donna Dunn, in Kilkenny. I've been doing her online classes, which are so bloody tough. and then I'm baiting the paint off the wall out the back here with the slitter. So we've a very small back garden, so just trying to keep the touch in. If I don't have touch as good as Owen Murphy, the Kilkenny goalkeeper, by the end of it, I'm giving up.
That's a challenge.
But I suppose you're just kind of tipping away doing online classes, and anyone that can go outside, that can go within 2 kilometres, you're doing your runs and your strength work that you're given by your trainers.
Yeah. Stephen, you'd echo that advice. I suppose as sports people, we're kind of, reluctant because we're missing out in sport, but this is a bigger picture than we all need to adhere to.
Yeah, definitely. It just has to be done. We all have to do our bit. Like, I mean, lives are definitely at stake. The dramatic picture I get, if any young people are listening, I'm still seeing young people hanging out together.
It must be incredibly difficult for them and boring to be at home, to not be able to go out and hang out with your friends, but it just has to be done. In a couple of weeks' time, if we only have a certain number of ICU beds, if there's too many people that are very unwell with this virus that need an ICU bed and there aren't enough beds there, it's like the loaves and the fishes. The consultants, the ICU doctors are going to have to choose who to give an ICU bed and who not to. Can you imagine, like, if it was your mother or father or grandparent or your friends, and if you were having this conversation with your friends saying, right, we're going to hang out together, but what if it was your own, if the case was the choice between your parent and the other parent? Do you know what I mean? That's what it will come down to in a few weeks' time. If this surge, that was why it was so important when they said to flatten the curve so that the ICUs and hospitals don't become overrun. It could come down to something like that. The doctors in Italy were faced with those cases every day. That's how dramatic it was. It was real wartime stuff where they had to choose who to save, basically, and who not to save. That's how serious it is. It is literally life and death. But for the general population, the public, we just needed to do our bit by just staying at home. That's as simple as that. And there's a direct link between the more people that do that, the less people are going to be in ICU.
Yeah.
The most important message I could give to anybody listening.
Yeah, Stephen and Grace, thank you so much. We know that in times we're going to look back at your both of your incredible sporting careers, but it's moments like this that you've separated yourself. Thanks so much for putting yourselves out there, and stay safe and stay well.
Thanks, William.
Take care. Take care, guys.
We're going to take a quick break.